Our scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. This is the word of the living God. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as the first important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as the one untimely born, He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. As far as the reading of the God's Word. We are living in an era is full of incredible inventions. Technology and science has become one of the most essential things in our daily life. We cannot imagine how to live without them anymore. We are driven by the awe that we have towards science and technology. Everybody has smartphones now. The world is in our pockets. The internet has become one of the most fundamental needs of humanity. Autonomous cars are in the road. Robots are having bigger parts in our life year after year. Scientists have been talking about colonizing other planets. And this list goes and goes and goes on, goes on. It is amazing. It's like watching a sci-fi movie. However, is this all? Does science have no other agenda at all, apart from making our lives better? Certainly not. Some scientists, they call themselves transhumanists, have been hoping to find cures to illness of death and aging disease. One of the well-known transhumanists, Zoltan Iswan, says, the primary goal of transhumanism is to try to overcome the biological death. In one sense, transhumanists are aiming something that much more than we know, more than the science that we know. Transhumanists are giving people hope of everlasting life. They say, have faith, soon you will not die. We will find the answer we've been looking for. Science is becoming much more than just technological inventions. But are you, people of God, ready to deal with these new challenges that have been putting before us? How can you continue to live as Christian in this world, who are called to live according to the gospel? The scripture is not silent about these questions, of course. God, who is and who was and who is to come, has never left His children without any answer. God doesn't need to discover anything like we discover in the labs through experiments. God doesn't need to improve Himself like technological devices to be more efficient. As it's written, we say, marvelous are your works. And that my souls know very well. Our passage today is about a church who found herself struggling in the midst of a similar challenge 2,000 years ago. And I am sure those challenges will continue to exist as the world exists. Today, we are going to look into the passages in 3 points. The gospel has been made known. The gospel according to scripture, and the gospel has been witnessed. When you have read the first epistle of Paul to Corinthians, you would know that there were some serious problems in the church. First, there was a division. Some of them were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Secondly, they were under influence of false teachers. And finally, they were boasting in things that belong to flesh, not in the Lord. So they drifted away from the gospel. But Paul is so determined to remind them of the gospel they have received. He says in chapter 1, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. This is all they need to hear and embrace, the gospel. This is why Paul once more points to the foundation, which is the gospel in chapter 15 we just read. The gospel is cure for division. The gospel is the wisdom of God against false teachings. And they received the gospel and all the promises that Christ crucified, but some of them forgot both of those promises. So, what was the gospel that they received from Paul? Paul says, Corinthians, the gospel is the foundation which you also stand, which you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe to no purpose. If the gospel is taken away from them, there would be no any foundation left to stand. If the gospel is taken away from them, there would not be any salvation. If the gospel is taken away, there would not be anything to hold on. The gospel is everything. This is why Paul tirelessly reminds them again and again of the gospel of Christ crucified. Because of the very same reason, we all need to be reminded of this gospel. Brothers and sisters, this is the same gospel we are made to stand, by which we are being saved, but which we are holding on. Many of you received the gospel gladly and joyfully, as Corinthians said. Praise the Lord. However, do you remember the gospel? Or have you forgotten as Corinthians did? Are you continually being saved in the gospel? Are you holding on to gospel? Being a Christian is not a popular thing in the 21st century, as it was 2,000 years ago. Some people say that Christianity is outdated and belongs to the dark age of medieval. Humanity has become the new powerhouse. Science is becoming a new religion. The wisdom of the world has grown and humans have accomplished amazing things. Who believes a Savior who died on the cross in the 21st century? Who can believe in such things anymore? So, how do you answer these things, brothers and sisters? Are you really ready to face these questions? We know that many failed against the false teacher who challenged Corinthians in the same way. This is why Paul says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For this, the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In Acts 17, we read that people mock Paul when he shares the gospel. But what Paul says, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel when people mock him. People of God, don't forget that. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. So, let's humbly submit ourselves to the gospel of Christ crucified. By knowing that Christ suffered you on the cross so you can be saved. If you don't submit yourself to the gospel, if you don't stand on it or don't hold on to it, you believe in vain. The gospel is not a system of thought, and the church is not a Sunday activity. The gospel is life, life itself. And the gospel expects a full submission, and the church is the temple of the living God. If the gospel is not producing any fruits in your life, brothers and sisters, look into your hearts and examine yourself. Don't believe in vain, because Christ has risen from the dead and will return to judge the living and the dead. And this brings us to our second point today, the gospel according to Scripture. The first thing that Paul delivers the Corinthians was the gospel, when you read the first chapter. The gospel that Paul delivers was not the gospel according to Paul, or he didn't modify the gospel so he could share with Gentiles. The gospel that Paul shares is the gospel according to Scripture. Paul travels many places, as you know, but he carries only one gospel. He doesn't shape it according to his hearers. He doesn't modify it. There is always only one gospel in his mind. He's not worried about offending someone because of the gospel. He is not worried about intellectual level of the gospel. Wherever he goes, he shares the gospel. He is only worried about one thing. That is to be able to share the gospel according to Scripture. Paul says this in Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So, what was the gospel Paul reminds the Corinthians? In these two short verses, Paul emphasized two things. First, Christ died for our sins. And second, Christ was buried and rose again on the third day. If these verses remind you of confessions that we just read today, that means you can see the connection. These verses carry the confessional statements, and these verses point us to the heart of the gospel. The gospel, which is the death and the resurrection of Christ, is a crucial and the message and the truth that we need to be reminded every day. So I ask to you, why do we have to be reminded every day of something that we all know very well? Why is this so important? It is because we are weak and we are sinners. Our nature is corrupted by sin. It takes only one moment for us to be a backslider. This is why Paul also warns Corinthians several chapters before. He says in chapter 10, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. So, brothers and sisters, where does your hope lie? I want you to be really sincere to yourself about this, because the answer that you give to yourself shows where your heart is. What is your answer? Why do you call yourself a believer, a Christian? Is it because you were born into a Christian family and you think that Christianity makes sense? Christianity seems to be true and other religions look terrible? Is it because you want to maintain the life, the standards you have in this world? Is it because you don't want to be sick? You don't want to be poor? You don't want to be persecuted? Is it because you want to see your kids growing up, age well, die peacefully? What is your answer to yourself? Where does your hope lie? Paul says in chapter 15, 19, if in this life only we hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked to Martha. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of Christ crucified. You shall never die, because Jesus says, I am the resurrection. This is what we are promised. For our sake he made him to be sin, and who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians. Do you truly believe in the gospel of Christ crucified? Do you truly believe in the resurrection? These are the questions you and I needed to be reminded and ask every day. Some Corinthians unfortunately failed to grasp the hope of the gospel and went after the wisdom of the world. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Paul deals with false teaching more in the rest of the chapter if you read the following verses in the chapter 15. However, in the 21st century, there are still so-called Christians who don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. This false teaching has survived and reached to our days. But it has modified itself according to the 21st century. Today, we call this teaching materialism. According to materialism, you can obtain things in your life, only in this life, so you have only one chance to do it. You have only one life to live. You have only one life to obtain things. Because there is no tomorrow. There is no heaven. There is no hell. And there is no resurrection of death. The purpose of this life is to have a good car, a good house, a beautiful wife or a handsome husband, receive a good paycheck every month, and here it is, you have a great life to live according to the 21st century. These are all you need, don't you? But you can say, what's wrong with longing for this kind of life? Also, if transhumanists cure the sickness of aging, a person can live like this forever. But do you see how this is progressing, brothers and sisters? If you ignore the resurrection, you ignore God and declare that you are a god of your own life anymore. You start only living for yourself. If you reject the resurrection, you reject God, because that means that you don't accept the problem, sin, and don't see yourself as a sinner. This is exactly what the world calls you to do. Ignore and reject the gospel. Brothers and sisters, you have to flee to the gospel. Flee from the lies of the world, lies of the deceiver. Almost every generation witnesses the similar claims as transhumanism claims, but only the scripture tells us the truth about our nature. But God's promises are stronger than the deceptions of this world. And hear these comforting words from our God from 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Remember that also God says in John 3, God so loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son. The world wants you to perish, but Christ wants you to live. The world wants you to believe in its lies, but Christ accepts you as you are. And the last point of the message today, we are going to look verses 5 through 9. The gospel that has been witnessed. Paul gives the account of the people who witnessed the resurrection from the Christ. This is an impressive list. We read these names, and this is really impressive list. And there's not only one people, but there are many witnessed the resurrection in this verse we see. But this is not the case in other religions. As you know, in any false religion, there is always one chosen person who witnesses all by himself. He witnessed gods and angels, and he's only person that able to speak to those creatures. He's the only person. He has the so-called privileges. We can see many examples of these kinds of the people in history, like false cults or Islam or other religions are all the same. But however, this does not take place in Christianity. People who witnessed the resurrection of Christ devoted their lives to the gospel and became servants of others rather than servants making others their servants. They became the servants. Paul also gives us a historical chronological account in this verse. Christ appears Cephas, which is Peter. Then Christ appears to 12, even though there were only 11 disciples because Judas killed himself. But we read this 12. And also, thirdly, Christ appears to 500 people, which only mentioned here in this verse in the Bible. This number can be a collective number of the people that Jesus appeared after His resurrection until His ascension. Acts 1, if you read that, you can see there. And then lastly, Christ appears to Paul, the one born out of due time. In Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Bible, this word means stillborn child. So Paul calls himself a stillborn child. This is a very powerful image to describe the undeserved grace of God. The scripture tells us that there were many others who witnessed the resurrection that is not mentioned, such as Mary Magdalene, John, and Mary, the mother of James. However, Paul especially names apostles and 12 because there were false teachers in Corinth. They were telling others that they were apostles too, but being an apostle requires being a witness to the resurrection, but those people, they did not witness to the resurrection of Christ, but Paul did, and like other apostles. Do you remember who else witnessed to or had to be witnessed to the resurrection? The Roman soldiers who were guarding the entrance of the tomb of Jesus Christ. But what did they do? Let's read from Matthew 28. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this come to governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Pharisees knew that if there is no resurrection, there was no power. If there is no resurrection, nothing to be afraid of. Funny enough that Islam affirms and acknowledges that. Christ also was born from a virgin. Islam also affirms and acknowledges that Jesus performed miracles and he ascended into heaven. However, Islam doesn't affirm and acknowledges only one thing, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Why? Because the death and the resurrection of Christ is the gospel. You should not be surprised to see that other all religion, they also share this common point. They all ignore the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, many people were enemies of the cross today, and they were enemies of the cross in Corinth. These people were trying to destroy what Christ had built with his own blood. They like to call themselves wise people, scholars, experts. They were despising the gospel. Today is no different than 2,000 years ago. Brothers and sisters, today is exactly the same. And let's don't deceive ourselves by thinking that we are so much better than Corinthians. How can we be better than Corinthians when we cannot share the gospel anymore because we are so afraid to offend anyone? How can our churches be stronger if we fail to proclaim the gospel? People of God, there has been always only one place for Christians to take refuge. It is the gospel of Christ crucified. I urge you to hold on to this gospel, that because Christ has been holding on to you and he has never let you go. He is faithful forever and ever. So be faithful to him. I'd like to remind you this beautiful promise that we read today once more from Isaiah. Can a woman forget her nursing child that he should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is the salvation. We preach Christ crucified. This is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I pray that we all would realize this power and devote our lives fully to this gospel every day, so we can preach the gospel crucified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously grant that your word, which we have heard, may be inscribed inwardly on our hearts. As we receive your word meekly with pure affection, may our hearts be filled with love and reverence for you. Cause us to bear fruit of the Spirit and live in holiness, diligently following your commandments.